T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's the 20th anniversary of roller derby returning to the city it was born in, Chicago. But the huge, punk rock, gender-inclusive, often misunderstood sport has had a contentious history, even in its hometown.
We can express our full extent of our femininity or non-femininity, depending on who you are. We were able to express who we were without having been told what we have to look like or how we have to dress. And I remember having a reporter ask me how I felt because they're like, you know, this sport is so dangerous. These are all women. So aren't you scared you're going to hurt all these women? And I remember getting so angry and just saying, you would never say that to a man. You would never. You start these kids off at like 3 years old playing football. What are you talking about? This is insane that anyone would ever think that there's some kind of difference.
So what is roller derby? And why does a sport not get the same level of recognition as others? I'm your host, Arielle Ravine. And today, we'll explore the sport of roller derby, unpack its common misconceptions, and discover how it returned home to Chicago 20 years ago. Lace up your skates, and let's get looped in, Chicago. What you know of roller derby from the media may look like women throwing elbows and jaws while they skate fast and hard. Just blood, sweat, and broken bones covered in glitter. Today, roller derby as a sport has taken on more rules and regulations, but the origins of the sport looked a lot more violent. Perhaps this is why there are so many misconceptions about the sport today. I sat in with the team, Chicago Style, for one of their practices where I spoke with players Chrissy Crossbones and Rebel Fury.
At least I can speak for my family and my friends. Oh, you play rollerblading? They always confuse it with rollerblading. But then you actually, your contact, you hit, and they really bring up gender a lot, and it is a heavy issue, but I don't even think of it. It's just the people who I'm playing with, and it's just more about the contact as the last thing they bring up is you're getting knocked around. What if you get hurt? What about your kids if you get hurt? And that frustrates me, because why can't I just play and still be a mother at the same time?
Mm-hmm. I get a lot of, are you dropping bows? You throw elbows? Are you clotheslining people? I think that a lot of people view roller derby as still the same sport that it was, you know, 50 years
ago. On TV when they would watch it.
Exactly, and, you know, staged and theatrical. And not that that isn't to be appreciated as its own thing in itself, but it's a lot of explaining to people how much the sport has changed and what a real legitimate sport it is. So I always just say, okay, think about hockey in that it is a full contact sport on skates. There are rules, there's legal hits and illegal hits. So think of it in that structured way. It's like begging people to respect the sport a lot of the times.
My husband will bring up rules and he'll ask, why? Why is that a rule and you can't do this, but you can't do this? I'll just bring up, well, why can you do this in football? Why is that a first down and these arbitrary rules? It's the sport, it's the structure of it.
There's a lot of confusion for those who haven't seen roller derby and what the game actually is. So here's other players from Chicago Style, Squid and Bambi, to explain.
In roller derby, there's 5 people for each team out at a time. 4 of them are blockers, and then 1 of them is the jammer. And so when people always like to be like, oh, well, what's the ball? Like, where's your ball? We don't play with the ball. The ball is the jammer. That's the point scorer. And they function very much like a running back. So their job is to get through everybody. And, you know, to kind of boil it down, every person from the other team that they pass, they get points for. So your team, your blockers, will want to be playing defense to keep the other person from getting through, but also offense to help you through at the same time.
To understand where these misconceptions come from, we have to rewind the clock 90 years. The year was 1935. It was the middle of the Great Depression, and folks found ways to stay entertained and bring in any type of alternative income. Endurance contests were popular during this time, like dance marathons. These exploitive competitions were an opportunity for folks to earn a large sum of money, shelter, and food, if they could last. According to The Guardian, a woman named Amy Cummings set a record in New York when she danced for 27 consecutive hours with 6 different dance partners. Seeing how lucrative this trend was, business owner Leo Seltzer decided to create his own. As roller skating was popular at the time, he decided to combine endurance contests with sport. And thus, the early days of roller derby were born in the Chicago Coliseum. The sport always involved women, an intentional move by Seltzer to pull more crowds and include women in sports that, historically, have been left out of. Seltzer created and bankrolled the National Roller Derby League in 1948, bringing the sport to states all around the nation. His son Jerry took over the business in 1959. By adding more drama to the sport, he got games to a cinematic level that became televised. These early days of roller derby included more frills and tricks. There weren't as many rules in those times about how much contact was allowed, so it left women with broken bones and bloody noses. One player, who had experienced a broken pelvis and ankle, told the Chicago Tribune in 1951, "I love it. It's the most exciting thing a woman can do." Roller derby is rare in the sports world because it's always been a contact sport that included women from the get, a fact that not only drew in crowds, but attracted women to play.
Probably was very freeing then. Totally, you know, if you think about like women's expectations in life in the 50s, you know, it was very much homemaker. So that was like very liberating, you know.
But that's a great point too. Even now, like one of the cool things about roller derby is like it's the great equalizer. Like none of us are thinking about what anyone does during the day. So it's funny sometimes to think like, oh, that person's a doctor, that person's a lawyer, this person's a teacher, this person's an author, videographer, photographer. Like anyone that does anything, there's probably someone here that does it. But we don't think about that. We're all just level playing field.
Just my teammate,
yeah.
The sport had great popularity for decades. At one point, roller derby drew a crowd of over 20,000 in 1973. But despite the crowds the sport drew, Jerry sold the league in 1973. A few years later, it went bankrupt. So again, roller derby changed and was something people could watch on TV in the 80s alongside theatrical wrestling. But eventually, the sport's fame fell, and no longer a bankrolled organization, the social popularity and nationwide existence dwindled. That is, until it returned in 2002.
My name is Elizabeth Gomez, also known as Juana Rumble. I am 50 years old now, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois.
In 2002, grassroots contemporary roller derby was emerging in Austin, Texas. Elizabeth and her friend Kelly Malozzi happened to visit the city around that same time.
So we were in Austin, Texas, and we were like just messing around the city and having a great time. And we went to this bar. This waitress comes up to us. She's wearing like a denim mini skirt. She's wearing like a plaid shirt all like tied up to the top. And she's got like this cowgirl hat on. And Kelly notices this mark on her body. Kelly goes, "Hey, what is that, a tattoo?" And the girl goes, "No, it's a derby burn." And she just like flips her back to us and walks away. And I was like, oh my God. Whoever she is, I want to be her.
So Elizabeth was bitten by the roller derby bug and decided to see what the sport was all about.
They had this trailer for this documentary about them, and it was like fast skating, you know, baddie, cool chicks who are like skating in fishnets and with their makeup on and looking super femme, but playing this hard sport where they're like hitting each other and running into walls and skating super fast. And my feeling was, oh my God, that's a sport that's made for me, right? Because like most sports are not about women being able to express being women.
But after returning home, they ran into a problem.
I try to look for a league in Chicago. At the time, there's only, I think, less than a dozen leagues throughout the country. I know Texas, like North Carolina, New York, even Madison just started a month before we did. So we didn't have very many resources. And so I started looking for places and I emailed all the gals that I could find. And they emailed me back and they're like, there's not a league that we know of starting in Chicago. And I was like, oh yeah, that sucks. Bummer. I guess I'll go on with my life. And then several of them wrote me back and they were like, well, why don't you just do it? I was like, well, I haven't skated since I was 12. And they're like, yeah, so what? And I was like, yeah, why not? And that's how it started.
So after decades of roller derby no longer having a team in its hometown, Elizabeth and Kelly decided to bring it back. They plastered posters around the city to recruit other players and eventually garnered enough interest in 2004 to create the league Windy City Rollers, made up of four teams. The new wave of roller derby was still getting off the ground in the early aughts, but they weren't alone to figure it all out.
All these women from across the country were willing to help. The girls from North Carolina, the girls from Texas, the ones from Arizona, they all wrote to us and said, you know, here are the things that we do. Here's our track dimensions. It was pretty, I hesitate to use this word in some ways, but I think it's the best way to describe it. It was like femme-focused punk rock attitudes. We were just like, F it. We're going to just do this, right? We're going to figure it out together.
That same year, roller derby would get more established in the nation. Like the NFL or the WNBA, roller derby also has an official organization, the Women's Flat Track Derby Association, or the WFTDA. According to their website, the WFTDA was founded in 2004 and is the international governing body of women's flat track roller derby, currently representing more than 400 member leagues on six continents. But unlike football or basketball, there's no official state teams. This is why the term grassroots really defines how the sport can exist right now without major funding. Basically, roller derby doesn't have the level of recognition to have official sanctioned teams, but there are rules and regulations that allow teams to be created and participate in national ranking. Here's Squid again.
Team structures typically follow 2 to 3 different routes. So some teams have what they call home teams, so that's everyone in their league splits up into 2, 4, you know, whatever number would make up amounts of teams, and then they just interleague play each other. And then there's another structure that's mostly travel teams, so that's where you have more of like an A team, a B team, a C team, like a ranked team, and then you go out and you travel and you play against other teams.
Okay.
Or other teams come and play you. And then the last one is mostly like a rec league, a home league, where it's you just kind of get together and play and have fun, but you don't compete really for anything. So we are a travel team.
Today, the Windy City Rollers and Chicago Style are just a couple teams that participate in this region to be ranked on a national scale.
And then within that system, there's regional groups. So we're in the Northeast region, and so that has about 120 teams right now that we compete with each other and then are ranked from 1 to 120. And then every game you play, there's like, you know, win-loss, point differential, and that'll gain you points up or move you points down.
When we think about sports categorized into two genders, roller derby is once again a standout, because it didn't start as a sport just for men, then get its own branch after Title IX. This has always been a sport for women and folks who fall under the gender nonconforming spectrum, a fact that has potentially held it back from modern mainstream success. To get a better understanding of sports culture, I spoke with seasoned sports journalist and professor of journalism at Northwestern University, Melissa Isaacson.
I think sometimes women's sports suffer from often, if you hold them up head to head with men, men want to, for years, you know, would want to say, well, women's basketball isn't as good because they don't play above the rim. You know, they don't jump as high, and so they don't tip and dunk and stuff like that. But when men just stopped long enough to actually watch, they saw a really, really great fundamental game with women who could shoot just as well. And the games were very competitive. The WNBA games from the start had tons of parody. And so if you watched on TV, your eye was trained to the NBA, then yes, it might look slower and it might look like they weren't jumping as higher because they weren't. But if you went to a WNBA game, it was phenomenal. So I think there are men still to this day, and you know, they just won't kind of give it a chance because they're intent on comparing, and that's just silly. So I think that's part of it. And part of it is just plain old sexism. You know, some people don't want to kind of admit that they're watching women's sports, or you know, just give it any credit on equal footing as entertainment or as a skilled sport.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Since 2004, roller derby has grown in Chicago and internationally. All sports have a curated culture and community, so I was curious to know how the players would describe roller derbies. Here's Chrissy Crossbones and Rebel Fury.
Derby uniquely is more open to all different gender identities and expressions. And so it really is one of the very few spaces that gender fluid or queer people or non-binary people can come, because they don't have to worry about being questioned or having to explain themselves.
Come as you are, or if you're still finding your way, it's a safe place for that.
Totally open, totally welcoming. You could visit any city and drop into a practice.
Yes.
And just bring your gear bag and you'll have friends. It's a wonderful community. I met some of my best friends here. I met my wife here. Four of our teammates were in our wedding. It's just a beautiful, wonderful thing. And a way that you can have as an adult, because it's hard to make friends as an adult.
Yeah.
And like have a space. And when you do something this intense together, there's something about the bond. Such an emotional journey and so much energy involved that, like, you just have stronger relationships, and it's wonderful.
You're literally hitting each other, and then the next 10 seconds you're laughing and congratulating that teammate for hitting you the way they just hit you.
Right, right, exactly.
I mean, where else do you get that? No.
With the new wave of roller derby leagues and the WFTDA, the unruly spectator times of the 1950s are gone. Today, there are many set rules and regulations about where and how you can hit someone. According to the WFTDA, it's only legal to initiate a block to an opponent's chest, front and sides of the torso, arms, hands, hips, and the front and sides of legs above mid-thigh. So no tripping, spine hitting, or face punching is allowed. Yet Bambi and Squid say it's been hard for them to fully shake off their past while keeping the personality of the sport alive.
As long as I've been involved, you know, which is about 10 years, there's kind of this push and pull of the fringe nature of the sport. Like, it's an accepting place for people that don't fit the mold of anything else. But it's also very accepting of people who are sportsy people and played high school sports. So it is a very much a real sport with real athletes, but with the culture and the vibe of, you know, weirdness and acceptance. So I feel like there's been this, you kind of challenge to be accepted as a sport, because everyone remembers, you know, the 70s or even the 20s, when it was just not as much of a real sport as it is today, more of a spectator thing. But now it really is a sport, and it's hard to be taken seriously sometimes. Especially we have goofy names. Some of us have goofy names. Sometimes there's a push.
Theatrically, like, we'll like to dress theatrically sometimes.
Right. And it's hard to balance that and keep those things fun and, like, the spirit of that alive while also being taken seriously as a real sport and real athletes.
So it's changing. It's, like, a very evolving sport. And I think the other thing to remember, it's hard when you're in it, but it's only been around for about 20 years. So the rules are still changing, too.
Yes.
The rule set that when we joined 10 years ago is completely different than what we play now. I think at this point, everyone would just love to be able to have permanent spaces to practice and play and not have to feel like they're fighting for space.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you see very other new sports pop up, pickleball, for example, and now they're getting gyms and they're getting places to play and they're getting all these things popped up and, you know, we're having to fight for places to rent out, places to practice, and kind of trying to be like, no, this is still a sport. Like, we're not going to damage your items. We're not having brawls. We're not doing those things. So,
especially when there's fewer and fewer roller skating rinks, you know, they're disappearing. So there used to be a few in the area, and, you know, the leagues in the area would all kind of had a home base, but every year one seems to close, so we're down to very few, and we're all kind of competing for the same space.
So how have certain female sports, like soccer, been able to gain household-level popularity? Here's Melissa again.
I think they all catapulted from that 96 games. I don't think that's a proven fact that that was considered the Olympic women's games, you know, that they spawned all these pro leagues from that Olympics and the medals they won and the stars that, you know, came out of that.
The hard truth is for a female sport to gain a certain level of respect and attention, there need to be female players that break records or win championships, while a men's sports team can go 17 years without making it to the Super Bowl and still sell out stands. When we talk about women in sports, we often focus on their strength, or a lack thereof. The world wants to see us as gentle creatures. Yet roller derby flips this idea on its head, as some of the greatest appeal of the sport over the last 90 years is the contact of it all. The weekly training, the body slams, falling on the floor.
I think that I knew I was strong. Like, my mom built that confidence in me, but you find you're stronger than you think you are. You're falling 7 times, but you're getting up 8 times.
Roller derby breaks the mold for what sports can look like in a lot of ways. But just like with so many other sports, these athletes keep returning for the love of the game and each other. I'll leave you with some thoughts from Elizabeth.
It goes back to what started the whole thing, which is, like, for so long, our story has been so flat for women, you know, like a lot of our stories have been about, like, men wanting us, men picking us, men needing us to survive, that kind of stuff. And I think being able to find a space where you can be fully who you are in all the levels, in all the different ways, can just be put onto that track is amazing. And I think also that roller derby, the way that it is now, like, you can come from any walk of life, you can be at any age. People are not like, you have to be a certain type of woman to be part of this group. And so I think it lends itself to, like, support. Here's a welcoming space that's going to allow you to be who you really are on every level. And it has nothing to fucking do with men. Sorry.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Looped in Chicago. This episode was hosted and produced by me, Ariel Ravenay, edited by Myron Kaplan and myself. Craig Schwalb is our station's news director. Myron Kaplan is managing producer of national news podcasts. Anne-Marie Wessler and Sarah Dingman are our social media team. To see videos of a roller derby practice in action, check out our station's socials on Instagram at WBBM News Radio or on TikTok at WBBM News Radio 105.9. We'll get you looped in back here in 2 weeks. See you then.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.